I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on a Sunday morning. National Geographic's Wild Channel kicks off Big Cat Week tonight with Snow Leopard of Afghanistan. Filmmaker Tony Gerber talks to Thane Maynard about the film.
Now, I'll tell you what, you are brave and maybe a little crazy because I was lucky to get to see your show on the Snow Leopard of Afghanistan, and I think anybody listening knows Afghanistan right now is one of the most dangerous places in the world. And heck, that's just in the city, not to mention trying to get out and capture a snow leopard.
That's exactly right, man.
Tell me a bit about this. I know the show's premiering on Nat Geo Wild, and no group's better than National Geographic, but I'll tell you what, you put the wild in Nat Geo Wild on this one.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I assume that's a compliment.
It very much is. I mean, honestly, for instance, going to those markets where they are illegally selling, in this case, snow leopard pelts, but other things too,
yeah,
they catch you filming. That cannot be a pretty picture.
Well, we did go to some storefronts. You know, we had a technical problem in Kabul. Our ambition all along was to get up into the mountains as quickly as possible to maximize the number of days we'd have trapping snow leopards. Snow leopards are notoriously evasive. You know, if anyone's seen Planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
a great series by a rival network, you know, there's the story of a nature photographer who I think spent something like 16 months camped out trying to get a shot of a snow leopard. So we went into this feeling very, very skeptical that on a two-week timetable that we were going to succeed at catching anything. So the more time spent in Kabul meant less time we would have in the mountains. And we had a problem with a radio receiver, which is part of our trapping kit, and we had to go into the markets, into the Kabul markets, at a time of year that's known as fighting season, because it's when the Taliban steps up their offensive.
Mm. Well, that part's scary, but then the adventure begins, and this is my understanding, the first ever capture and then release of this snow leopard in this kind of a project, really rescuing it. Tell a bit about what all went on.
Yeah, this is actually the first scientific capture and collaring of a snow leopard in Afghanistan. So it's an absolute first for the country, and it's a great source of pride for all the national team members who were involved. The idea is that snow leopards are endangered. They're cats that live in high mountainous regions that typically, you know, there's only a handful of other creatures that live up there. So they've created this sort of life cycle in which they hunt and they breed, and what's happening is their habitat is being constricted as a result of climate change, as a result of populations moving further and further into the mountains and into the valleys. You know, they're rapidly becoming endangered, but they're so little understood. They're also known as the ghost cat, which is one of the nicknames that this species has, because you see them now, you see them now, you don't. Mm-hmm. Their camouflage is so incredible. What we sought to do in concert with Wildlife Conservation Society mm-hmm. is to capture and collar with satellite collars in order to get GPS coordinates for a 13-month period, which we can really fully understand the habitat, the home range of these creatures, how they interact with one another, how they interact or don't interact with shepherds in the region, for example. So it's a really important work.
Now, you talk about interacting with people that live there. What was your take? Do you think folks actively are looking for snow leopards to poach and other wildlife perhaps to kill or sell or eat? Or are they saying, hey, this might be an important source of national pride and heritage?
Well, there's a process of education going on, right? Because the snow leopard is a traditional predator. They do attack pastures. They do attack sheep. They threaten the livelihood of shepherds. So one of the things that Wildlife Conservation Society is working very hard to do is to create awareness that this is a rare and endangered species that can possibly drive tourism, for example, in the way that folks go to East Africa to see the Great Migration.
Mm-hmm.
Folks could travel to the Wakhan of Afghanistan to try to catch a glimpse of a snow leopard. So it's entirely viable and a possible new source of income and certainly of cultural pride for this region. So there is that process going on of talking with local folks, teaching them how to build corrals for their livestock that will protect them from snow leopards who are being forced out of their natural habitats.
So tell a bit about Boone Smith. I know he's featured in the show, and you all, the whole crew must be adrenaline junkies to even say, I've got an idea, let's go to Afghanistan in 2012.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, for all of us, it was this sort of exciting and terrifying prospect. You know, it's both of those things at once. Boone very eloquently called the snow leopard his holy grail. You know, here's a guy who's, you know, been working as a wildlife biologist and a capture specialist, you know, mostly in the United States, but also some down in Central and South America, but never, ever been to Afghanistan. And Hindu Kush is where you find the snow leopard. So China, Pakistan, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan. Here's a guy who, you know, fearless guy, and who's grown up in nature. You know, when he came to New York City to do a voiceover record for us, you know, he looked like I looked when I got off the plane in Kabul. So, you know, he's a man who knows the natural world and is not only an incredibly compelling TV character, but also a great scientist and a leader. You know, this guy would go up and down the mountain without even breaking a sweat. I mean, he's such an incredibly strong and fearless individual, and you know, a true believer in the importance of educating and getting the message out there about you know, what's precious about our natural world and what's so critical about acting to intercede and to try to save these species.
Well, the interesting thing is, I guess you could say, if you can get it to work in a year like this in Afghanistan, you could get it to work anywhere.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, there's a methodology at play at work, and you know, the natural world is shrinking, and human populations are growing, and cities are growing, and so, you know, we have to take an active role in preserving this natural legacy, you know, this great natural legacy of the earth. And if we're not active, if we're not actively engaged at every level, from school children to professional wildlife biologists, then we're going to lose it. And that's the moral of the story.
Now, tell us a bit, Tony, about the filmmaking itself. Everybody listening, of course, respects, as I do very much, National Geographic, both the magazine and the wildlife films. Everyone's grown up on them. So tell a bit of what this is like. It's not just you and Boone Smith, but it's probably a fairly small crew having to carry a lot of gear. Tell how that really looked.
We had a very small crew, but a lot of donkeys.
There you go.
you know, working in these environments is an incredible challenge because modern electronics don't take kindly to dust and to water and to exposure to the elements. And that's what you got 24/7 in this environment. We happen to be up there in the Hindu Kush during avalanche season. So it's, you know, the first spring melt. It says the glaciers are melting and the rocks are crumbling. And every morning around 4 a.m., you know, we would be awoken to the sound of a new avalanche. And the question every morning was, is this one going to reach camp? You know, so that was our rooster call in the morning that would get us up out of bed. As far as the gear goes, you know, there's also no electricity up there. You can't just plug a battery into a wall. Modern television production is completely dependent on hard drives and computers. So in that kind of environment, you need gas generators. There's no other way to do it. We would have to charge batteries. We'd have to download cards. It's a real sort of conflict of futuristic modern technology and ancient elemental challenges. You know, it's really the highs and lows, and you know, how do you keep dirt out of everything? So the storytelling is in and of itself a challenge. Figuring out how to backpedal, which means walking backwards, with somebody like Boone, who can, you know, dart up a mountain in no time, because you know, he's a mountain goat. That's the terrain he calls his backyard. So, you know, for us to backpedal up these treacherous terrains, keep him in frame, you know, it's quite tricky and a challenge. But it was a great challenge for all of us, and not only Boone, but our other partners, John Goodrich from Wildlife Conservation Society, and Hussein Ali, who's the head ranger in the Wakhan, are just these incredible individuals who are dedicated to their work. Not only are they inspiration, but they're also incredible TV subjects, as you'll see.
Well, Tony, it's exciting, and I know everyone will enjoy seeing it. And thanks for taking a little bit of time with us.
Thank you so much for your time.
My guest has been Tony Gerber, the filmmaker of the terrific new film Snow Leopard of Afghanistan. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.